daf is daf kufyut ches. So we got there on seven lines down. I should have went to the two dots. I just didn't. So the Gemara says, Chachamim hainu tanakama. Just finished off that piece from yesterday that the... We had a number of opinions yesterday how it worked in the Bamas, which one was brought, Bama Gedola, Bama Gedana. So it came out that the Chachamim and Tanakam are saying the exact same thing. So where's the Amar Papa? Kirvu Nisachim b'Midbar Ikebinayu. The Nafkamina was whether or not they brought along with them the Nisachim. According to one of them, they brought Nisachim in the Midbar, and one of them felt it didn't. Okay, I should have done that yesterday. Sorry. Mar now says two dots. Amar Mar, Rebbe Shimon Omer. So one of the opinions in the Brice about what was brought in the Bamas was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said that even for the tzibur, they would only bring the psachim and any other types of karbanos that were chovah shekavua lemzman. But a tzibur, carbon tzibur, that was not kavua zman, let's say parhelm davar, even though it came from the tzibur, it wasn't a set time for it, that was not brought in the bamos. So Gemara wants to know, my time of the Rabbi Shimon, what was the reason of Rabbi Shimon? The chesiv, it says in the pasuk, v'yasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-pesach ba-gilgal. They did them and made the pesach in Gilgal. When they brought the mishkan to Gilgal, they brought a carbon pesach. Pshita, of course. Why would you think they didn't bring a Karim Pesach? Of course they did. So Gemara says, Ela hokmash malan, the chovos ke'ein Pesach hu de Karif. Not that they brought the Karim Pesach, rather they brought the Karim Pesach. That they brought other karbanos that were similar to the Karim Pesach, namely other chovos at Tzibur that were kavu lemzman, like a Karim Pesach is kavu lemzman. Ha lav kein Pesach, if it was a karban that was not like a Pesach, meaning it wasn't kavu lemzman, such as a parhelm davar or the like, low karb, they did not bring in the Mishkan and Gilgal. So that's the basis for Rabbi Shimon's reasoning that only karbanos that were kavul lemzman were they brought. V'idach, what does the other opinion think? The one who holds that they brought even karbanos she'ein lem kavul lemzman, such as parhelm davar, what do they do with the pasuk of Vayas b'nei Yisrael as a Pesach v'Gilgal? What's the chiddush of Pesach? They didn't only bring things that were similar to the Pesach, they brought things that were not similar to Pesach as well. So Gemara answers as follows. Mi bari leitz needed to teach me the din of the Rebbe Yochanan. Dama Rebbe Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Bana Ariel Mekabel Hazah. Then Ariel, person who doesn't have bris milah, he's an Ariel, he's able to be Mekabel Hazah. Meaning even though he may have been Tame Tumas Meis, and he's an Ariel at the same time, the Hazah, the sprinkling of the Paraduma, the Mechatas, will make him Tahor even though he's an Ariel. It won't be affected by the Ariel. Rashi explains the background here, that when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, most of the people were actually Tumei Meis, because all their fathers had died for part of the Chayit of Meraglim, and they also didn't get a Bris Milah while they were in the Midbar, it was too dangerous. So they were Arelim, and they were also Tumas Meis. And when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they received a Hazah from the Paraduma, from the Mechatas, so they became Tahor, even though they were still Arel. That's the Chiddush, that you can become Tahor even though you're an Arel. Because they brought a Pesach, they were able to bring the carbon Pesach, even though they're in, exactly. So the Gemara, so the Tosos asks in Yivamos, I don't understand, what's the Havamina? Why would you think they can't become Tar just because they're an Ariel? What's the Arelis have to do with the Tara of Tumas Meis? So he explains, even a person who's Tamei Kizav, or Zav or Nida, and they're also Tumas Meis, they're allowed to get Hazah. They can become Tahor from Tumas Meis, even though they're Tamei Zav, Tumas Zav, Tumas Nida. It's nothing to do with each other. So certainly a person who's an Arel will be able to become Tahor from Paraduma. So the Tosfos Rashi answers as follows. That according to, there's an opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, how does Rabbi Kiva know that an Arel cannot eat Truma? The Pasuk says, Ish, Ish, Mizer Aaron, Vehu Tzarua. Double Lashon Ish means not only is a person who's a Tzarua, a Kohen who's a Tzarua may not eat Truma, but even an Ish, Ish, even an Arel may not eat. So since an Arel is included from the word near Tzarua, and a person who is Mitzaras, actually Mitzora, cannot become Tahor from Tumas Meis. While Zav, Zav, Anida may become Tahor from Tumas Meis, a Mitzora cannot. So there's a Havamina, just like a Mitzora can become Tahor from Tumas Meis, so too an Arel shouldn't be able to become Tahor from Tumas Meis. Kamash Malam from this pasuk here, but Yasu Bnei says a Pesach, but Gilgal, that even though they were Arelim, they were able to become Tahor from Tumas Hameis. That's the Chiddush we learn from
here. Here explains the dates. So they got into Eretz Yisrael the 10th of Nisan, and they had the Mila the 11th of Nisan.
Right, Rashi goes through all the
so
different details here.
So they couldn't have done, they had needed two Hazars, Shishi, right?
It's Shishi and Shvi.
And Shvi.
Have time.
And Shvi, they obviously they couldn't have done it because it was already the Tevav already, so. Or the design,
right?
So it's a proof that they were Tmeimes, that they were.
And they were
so they had to. So they had no. So no, so it's proving that they had, they started the Hazah before, they couldn't have done the Korban Shmeimeh, so they had to do the Hazah before they got the Bishmida.
Before they crossed the Yarden.
So that by the time the Korban Shmeimeh, they were not Shmeimeh.
Okay, so then the Gemara is halfway down the Amud here. Tani, Tana Kamidi Rav Adar Rava, Ein Bein Bama Gedola Bama Katana, El Pesach V'Chovos HaKavul Hemzman. The only difference between Bama Gedola and Bama Katana is the bringing of the Korban Pesach and the similar Chovos that are Kavul Hemzman, like we mentioned before. Now, it's a little unclear what's going on here. There's a long toast to understand Pshat in the Gemara we're about to see. But the implicit question here is, how come it separates Korban Pesach from the Karbanos at Chovos Kavu Lemzman? Isn't that what a Pesach is? Just say one category, Chovos Kavu Lemzman. So there's parentheses here that are taken out, put back in. So we're going to skip the parentheses and just simply read. Amar Lei Tisar Game Masnisecha. Let's explain the Bryce as follows. Ba'olos Chovo Diika Olos Nadava. What's telling us here is that the only types of carbon sibor that were brought, allowed to be brought as a Chova, were only if you could bring a similar one be nedava on a bamas yachid. So an ola, which comes as a nedava and a yachid, you can make your own nether nedava. Those are the types of chovos you could bring in a carbon seabor, such as a tamid and the like. As opposed to something the ichatas, if you're talking about a chatas, yes, there's a chatas that's kavua lemzman, such as the chatas of kaman regalim, but it's a chatas nedava miika, but can a person make a personal nedava of a chatas? No. A chatas only comes when a person's mechayiv themselves to, but they can't make a nether or nedava. So what's referring to here, now how to fit this in is very confusing. That's what this long toast is trying to figure out here. It goes against Rashi. We're just taking one pshat here, Rashi, without figuring out the words, that the only types of karbanos, again, that a bamas tzibor is able to accept is something that you could do the same as a nedava. So since you can make a nedava of an ola, so that's a type of tzibor ola you could accept as well. But since you can't make a nedava on a chatas, so then the bama wouldn't accept a chatas nedava, a chatas tzibor.
He's saying the same as the others, but just with it for a different, in a different...
Different svara.
In a different way of describing.
Right, this idea of... So now, but the reason why I brought this here is it's going to be a question now to what we just said above. The Gemara asks, now wait a second. Actually, it's not a question what we said above, it's just not a question, sorry. Rabbi Shimon felt again, Rabbi Shimon was of the opinion that anything that's a chovos tzibor, you could bring. Not only a Pesach, but kabulam zman. Anything that's kabulam zman, but it's giving not based on the pasuk here, it's based on some type of comparison to the bamas yachid. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. So how come the Brisa doesn't, maybe it's talking about not an Ola, maybe it's talking about Menachos. Because a Mincha that you bring every single day, you bring Chavitim every single day, the Kohen Gadol will bring Chavitim, and you're also allowed to bring a Mincha from a Nedava, so that could be another type of example that was brought in the Bama. How come it only lists an Ola, it doesn't bring a list of the Minchas Chavitim here as being brought in the Bama Gadol? And so the Gemara answers, Kesavar ein mincha bebama. We mentioned yesterday that there's machlokas whether you could bring menachos on the bama or not. So this opinion holds that there were no menachos on the bama katana. So since you can't bring menachos as a nedava on the bama katana, memela you can't bring menachos on the bama gedola. But if you hold that you would allow a mincha nedava, minchas nedava on a bama katana, ein achanami we would accept the chavitim even on the bama gedola.
So what's the reason why we said we specified Pesach?
Yeah, I'm not sure. How to read it in is very unclear. How to read the Bryce is very unclear. So now they point out from this Gemara here, though, that it sounds like the Minchas Chavitim is called the Minchas Tzibor, because we're talking about a Minchas Tzibor that goes on a carbon tzibor. But a Minchas Chavitim is brought by the Kohen Gadol, wasn't brought by a carbon tzibor. They ask the question. So they say that you're right, it really is a carbon tzibor, rather carbon yachid, but since it's brought every single day, and it has a din of a carbon tzibor, it's a chov. And also, in a situation, let's say the Kohen Gadol dies, and there's no Kohen Gadol appointed, so they dip into the tzibor funds to bring a chavitim that day. So there are some connections of a chavitim, minchas chavitim, to a carbon tzibor. It's not really a carbon tzibor, but it's close enough to be able to be part of this conversation.
So Bama Katana, what the maskanas that were allowed to do what in the Bama Katana?
It's unclear, six people, six different shitas.
Bama Gadol is pretty, it's unclear, but people what? People ate, there was only olos, or there were also
I have to go back to the Mashiach. Okay. There's no psak either, because it's not relevant. Rambam doesn't talk about bamos. He doesn't mention it.
So
So there's no psak either.
Or the Rambam.
Yeah, because it's obsolete.
Gone.
It'll never come back again. So even though it's a discussion, we don't know.
Right.
So I don't know how we would paskin it. I don't remember the shitas either. So then the Gemara says, Bo l'shilo. So going back to the Mishnah said, once he got to Shilo, Nesu abamos, all abamos were asur. And then they also described that in the Mishkan and Shilo, they had the house was made, the bais was made of avanim, but the ceiling was curtains. So the Gemara said, Minani, how do I know this to be the case? Amar Rabbi Yechiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kosev Echad Omer, one pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, that Tiviyehu base Hashem Shilo was a bais made of rocks, stone. Kosev Echad, a pasuk says Omer, in Tilim, Vayitosh Mishkan Shilo Ohel, was a tent, which sounds like curtains, Shikain Vadim. Kosev it says as well, Vayimas Ba'ohel Yosef Ubeshevet Ephraim Lavachar. Ohel again. So was it a bias or was it an Ohel? Okay, so how do we reconcile this contradiction? Says the Gemara, Lohi Sasham Tikra Ela Avanim Milamatan Viros Milamala. The bottom was stone, the top was curtained, Vihai Samanucha, and that was the Manucha, that was the Mishkan in Shilo. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Kachim, Kachim, we're allowed to be eaten anywhere inside the Kalayim, and outside the Kachim, Kalim, and Mishkan Shilo, we're eaten anywhere you could see. So the Gemara says, Menachem, Mila, how do you know you could eat Kachim, Kalim, as long as you could see Shilo, even though you're miles away, if you could see Shilo, you could eat. So Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Amar Damar Kra, the Pasuk says in Devar Yud Beit, I think it's this week's Parsha maybe, Hishamar Lecha Pentale Olosecha Bechol Makom Asher Tireh, lest you bring up the carbon anywhere you could see, Bechol Makom Asher Tireh Yatamale. You can do a mala, you can do a hakrava wherever you see, avata ochel b'chol makom she'atarah, but you could eat wherever you see. So that's the diak from the parsha, that you could eat from wherever you see. That's the Mishkan Shila. Eimel Gemara says, maybe the diak should be, b'chol makom she'atarah yata mala, avata zoveach b'chol makom she'atarah. Maybe the diak should be said, that you can't be mala, you can't be maktir wherever you could see, but maybe you can be shochet, you could do zvicha wherever you see. It's not talking about achila, maybe it's talking about zvicha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Yanai, Amar Kratha Pazik says, Shom Tala Bisham Taaseh. The Gemara connects Tala to Taaseh. The zvicha is connected to the haktara. Just like you can't do haktara from wherever you see, so too you can't do zvicha from wherever you see. What's left? It must be that the achila is the one case that's permitted b'chol roeh, as long as you could see shiloh. So Rabbi Avdimi Bar Chasa Amar Christ is a different pasuk that supports this idea. It says v'lo te'ena shiloh. The pasuk says in Yeshua v'lo ta'ana shiloh. What does ta'ana mean? Ta'ana is lashon of aninus tsar. To him, there's pain from shiloh. What does that mean? Makom shekol roeh haroeh oso. Makom shekol roeh oso. Misanachalav. They sigh. They get upset about alchias kachim shiloh. That they used to be able to eat from this location where they could see, and now they're misanach, now they're distraught that they can't eat from here anymore. So the idea is, wherever you could see, that's the drasha. Even though they don't say the word riyah in here, they're making a drasha that whoever saw Shiloh would be upset because they used to be able to eat from the place where they could see Shiloh. Comes along Rabbi Abou Amar, he is another pasuk. Damar Kra, the pasuk says by the Birchas Yaakov to the Yosef, there's Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ali Ayin. What's the drasha here? That Ayin shall rot salozun vilehanos medavar sheino shalo. That Yosef did not want to use his eye to benefit from something that wasn't his, namely Ashes Potiphar. Tizke vesochel kimlo eina. He should be able to eat from wherever he could see. There's a very important lesson in Pnimius here that Shiloh is in the makum of Ephraim, which is the chelik of Yosef. So Yosef was all about the Shmir Sinayim, so too, Mid the connected Midah, he was Zocha, that anywhere you could see was considered an extension, an annex of Shiloh itself. Kalmuz on Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar, he says differently, another source from the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Shevet Yosef. What was the bracha? Uritzon Shochnei Sne. What's Pshat? Amar says, Ayin Shel Ratzel Lehanos Medavar Sheinu Shelo, the eye of Yosef, who didn't want to benefit from that which was not his. So, Tizke Vesochel Bein Hasum, he's going to eat amongst those who hate him, meaning amongst other Shvatim. So even though you're outside the Chelek of Yosef, the Chelek of Ephraim, you're still able to eat in other places, other people that hate him. Who hated him? His brothers hated him. That's why it's called Sne, Lashon of Sinah. So those who were Ratzon, those who had Ratzon, the ability, to hold back, was able to be shochnet, to rest in the sneh, the people that hated him, to eat in those places and other borders as well. We have around four different sources of how we know that the din of Shiloh is b'chol ro'eh. Gemara now says, Tana, Roe Shamu, that when we speak of Bechol HaRoe, anyone who sees Shiloh, it's Roe Kulo V'lo Mafsik Beino Leveino. It's being able to see it and not anything interrupt it. So the Achronim say it doesn't mean to see the entire Shiloh. That would be really hard to see the entire Shiloh. I mean, you could see it directly without having anything interrupt in between. I don't know if that means trees or something, but you have to be able to see it directly, as opposed not all of it, but directly without any Hefsik. Amr Le Rabbi Shimon Ben El Yochim Le Rabbi Elazar Asav L'cha, explain to you, Kagon Mivei Knisha Demon. The person goes from the shul where they were to be able to see this place called the shul in Ma'on. We're able to see Shiloh directly. That would be an example of a direct line, a direct vision to Shiloh. Anything like that. So Amr Papa says Roa Shamru Lo Roa Kula Ella Roa Miktasa. No one argues on this. When it says seeing it, it doesn't mean seeing all of it, because that's almost impossible. Rather, it means as long as you see part of Shiloh and a direct line, you're able to eat Kachim Kalam there. So Boy Rapapa asks, Omeid v'roa yoshev v'eino roa mai. Let's say you stand, you could see, but while you're sitting, you cannot see. Is that considered roa, or is that considered roa? Is it that you have to have the ability to see, or you have to actually be so who's watching it while you're actually eating? I think part of the discussion here is whether a person should be sitting while standing while eating or not, because the Chora person is supposed to be sitting down when he eats. So when I'm sitting down eating, I can't see it. When I stand up, I can see it. Is the ability to stand up, is that sufficient to allow me to sit down and eat it, even though I can't see it from where I'm sitting down? That's the suffix. So the Gemara then asks, "Bai Rabbi Yirmiya, Omed al Gabe Anachla." Let's say you're standing on top of the little valley, the Roa, you could see it, but Besoch Anachla. But if you're inside the valley, Enero, you can't see it. My similar type of question. The Gemara says, "Take it. We don't have the answer to this question." The Minchas Chinuch and others are bothered why they're asking such questions. If it's not relevant anymore, it's never going to be in Shiloh anymore, the Din Ra'ah, why they're asking such questions. So they say it could be relevant to Hilchos Birchas and Nedin. Let's say if a person could see their place, a person eats one place, and you have to bench somewhere else, as long as you could see your place from where you are, you're allowed to bench. But let's say you're in a place where if you stand up, you could see it. If you're sitting down, you can't see it. Is that going to be enough to allow you? So that's why it is a relevant question. We just don't have an answer that's going to help us out.
No, not
Bechol Roeh Shiloh. This is particular question. No, I'm saying to apply it elsewhere. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying the question is irrelevant, but you could extrapolate to relevant questions. Okay, the Gemara says, Ki Asa, Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, he told them, Rebbe, in the name of Rebbe, B'shlosh Makomos Sharis Shechina Al Yisrael. There were three places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested his Shechina on Am Yisrael. Where were they? He goes on to explain the three places are Shiloh, Nov v'Givon. Nov and Givon are always viewed as one unit. So Shiloh is one place, Nov v'Givon is the second place, and Beis Halamim, which is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash. Uvechol lo sharis ela b'chelik binyamin. In all three instances, the Shechina only rested when it was in Chelik binyamin. We'll see the question in just a second, because Shiloh was not Chelik binyamin. But he says it was only in Chelik binyamin. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Chofev alav kol hayom, that he was hovering over them, that the Yehuda had, Binyamin had the chelik of the Mikdash in his portion, and Yehuda kind of snuck in and took a part of Mizbeach, and it bothered Binyamin very much. He was chofef, he was hovering over the chelik of Yehuda that was dipping into his chelik. So he's chofef alav kayom, shekol chafifos lo ye'el b'chelko she Binyamin. He wanted all the chafifos, all the hashras hashchina, to only be in his own chelik. So that's why he was zochet to have all three places in the chelik of Binyamin. So the Gemara says, Ki Azel Abaye, when Abaye went, Amr, he said this halacha over, he said that Kame Lefer Rav Yosef, he said in front of Rav Yosef as follows, that the Amr, Chad Bra Havilei LeKailel, Kailel was the name of Abaye's father. So Abaye's father, LeKailel, had one son. And Velo Mitkan, and his son isn't fixed, he's got something wrong with him, because to say such a statement doesn't make any sense. How could Abaye say a statement that all three places were in the Chelik Binyamin? V'haksiv, doesn't it tell us Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh uksiv Vayimas Boel Yosef uvishavet Ephraim lovachar? So we see that Shiloh was in the chelik of Ephraim. It wasn't in the chelik Binyamin. How could Abaye quote such a halacha and be wrong about this? So that's why he's making fun of. It was not such a nice thing, but he was making fun of Abaye's father that he had one son, and even the one son he had wasn't really a derech hayasha. So Amr Vada explains, my kakashi, what's your question? Dilma Shechina b'chelik Binyamin. No, when we said that Mishkan Shiloh was in Ephraim, that means the Mishkan was there and the Sanhedrin Gadol was there, but perhaps the Shechina was resting in Binyamin's Chelek somehow, outside the Mishkan. Midmatzinu bebeis alamim, from the fact we have the beis hamikdash, the shechina bechelko shebinyamin, the Sanhedrin bechelk Yehuda. We have, this was not the first place where there's a chilik where Sanhedrin went, whereas the shechina went. Sanhedrin sat in the lishchas agazis, which was chelik Yehuda. Yehuda was a chokek, it was a din of shevet Yehuda, and yet the shechina was in chelik binyamin. So maybe that's the same thing that happened by the Shiloh, but maybe the Sanhedrin was in Shiloh in Ephraim, but the shechina was resting in Binyamin. Whereas in Amri Lehasam, Rav Yasser Yosef says back to Rav Ada, Hach Yash, let's understand this for a second. Hasam, over there by the Beis HaMikdash, it made sense how you could split up the Makom Shechin and the Makom Sanhedrin, because Mikarva Nachlos Gabi Hadadi, they're right next to each other. Binyamin and Yehuda were right next to each other, so the Yehuda's Chelek had Sanhedrin, which is right next to Binyamin's Chelek, which had Shechina. They're really in the same vicinity, but there's a little borderline going through. Hacha Mikarvan, is Chelek of Binyamin next to Chelek of Ephraim? Not at all. So how can you split the Shechina so far away from Mishkan Shiloh? It doesn't make any sense to make such a suggestion. So Hachanami Mekarvan, the Gemara said, no, it was Taka close. Chelek Binyamin and Chelek Ephraim were actually close to each other. Kedama Rabbi Bichama Rabbi Chanina Ritzua Haisa Yoseis Mechelko Shehuda V'Nichnasas Lechelko Shebinyamin. I referred to this earlier, that even though the Chelek of the Mishkash was in Chelek Binyamin, Yehuda's chelek had a little strand that came out of his chelek and took away from some of the part of the mizbeach, the southern part of the mizbeach. Ubahayam mizbeach banoy, and the chelek of Yehuda is where the mizbeach was built. Vayab binyamin at tzadik mitzarelel levala, and binyamin was so bothered by this, wanted to swallow up the chelek of Yehuda. He wanted it all to himself, the makom mikdash. So just like we have Yehuda dipping into Binyamin's chelek, Chachanami here as well. Ritzu ha'isa yotzeis mechelko she Yosef. Yosef's chelek, Ephraim's chelek, also dipped into the chelek of Binyamin as well, in which case they were adjacent to each other too. Behind the chesiv, that's what it means, Tanas Shiloh, the pain of Shiloh, because the Binyamin's tsar, it was Binyamin's tsar, his pain, he was bothered that not only was Yehuda taken away from his chelek, but also Ephraim was taken away from his chelek as well. So it comes out, it sounds like that Shiloh was in the chelek of Binyamin as well, and Ephraim came along and dipped in to the chelek of Binyamin, and that's where the Sanhedrin was in chelek Ephraim, but the Shechina in Shiloh was in the chelek of Binyamin. Okay. Mar says, in the end of the day, it's a ketanai. It's really a machlokas tanaim. The idea of that, when Rav Dimi said earlier that the Shechina was only resting in chelek Binyamin, it's really machlokas tanaim. What's a machlokas? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Chofef alav, this is part of the bracha, that bracha Moshe to Chelek to Shevet Binyamin. It says, Chofef alav, that he was kind of hovering over, that Zemikdash Rishon. Kol ayom Zemikdash Sheni. Ben Ksef av Shachain Elu Yimos Mashiach. So all these places, the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, and Liasad Lavo, is all going to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. But we see he doesn't mention Mishkan here. So it sounds like Mishkan Shiloh and Nova Givon did not have the Shechina resting in Chelek Binyamin. Rabbi Omer, the Chofef Olav Zeh HaOlam Hazeh, that's this world. Kol Hayom Yelimos Mashiach. And Ben Ksevav Shekein Shachin Zeh HaOlam Haba. So all these areas, the Shechina is always in Chelek Binyamin. So when he says Chofef Olav is Olam Hazeh, that's referring to all the places of the Mishkan Olam Hazeh. That means Shiloh, Nova, Givon, and Malkum HaMikdash, Yushalayim, was all Chelek Binyamin. So Rabbi Dimi holds like Rabbi, that every place in this world was the Shechina was in Chelek Binyamin. But according to the Tanakhama here, it says, no, only from Bais Rishon and on was the Shechina in the Makom of Binyamin. But prior to the Bais HaMikdash, namely Shiloh, Nova Givon, the Shechina was not in the Chelek of Binyamin. So it's in fact a Machlokes tonight.
And they all agree that Gilgal wasn't. Meaning the reason that the Shechina wasn't in Gilgal is because it wasn't from Chelek Binyamin, or was it just because it just was during the time of the Kibush?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't even think about that, actually. It doesn't mention that.
No.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. Unclear. It could be it was considered a hamshacha of Midbar. Okay. The Gemara now does some calculations for us. Now, the rest of the daf is follows. Tanur Ban of the Brisa tells us that Yimei Ol Moed Sheba Midbar, the Mishkan that was in the Midbar, was Arba'im Shana, Chasar Achaz was there for 39 years. Yimei Ol Moed Sheba Gilgal, Arba Esrei Shana was there for 14 years. And Sheva Shekavshu, the 7 years while conquering Eretz Yisrael. Sheva Shechalku, 7 years while they're dividing the land. Yimei Ol Moed Shebinov Givon, who was there. Chamishim Sheva, they was there for 57 years. And we know the total amount of time from the Yetzias Mitzrayim until the Bayis Rishon was a total of 480 years. That we know based on Psukim. So doing some math, so what's left for Nishtayer LeShiloh? How long was it in Shiloh for? Shlosh Meos V'Shivim Chaser Achaz was there for 369 years. That's the math. So Gemara now wants to know, how do you know all these different years? What's the source? So you may all know it should be Midbar Arbam Chaser Achaz. How do we know the Midbar, the Mishkan was in the Midbar for 39 years? Minolan, because we know they were in the Midbar for 40 years total. And Damar Mar Shana Rishon, the first year, also Moshe's a Mishkan. He built a Mishkan during the first year, and Shnia Hukam a Mishkan, and he put up the beginning of the second year at Nisan. So the rest of the time was 39 years. That's how we know B'shach Moshe Meraglim, and he sent the Meraglim, and we know because the Chayim Meraglim, they had to remain for another 39 years or so. So they were there for 40 years total in the Midbar. But the first year there was no Mishkan yet, so it was really 39 years that they had the Mishkan. That's the calculation for the Midbar. Sheba Gilgal. Arbasar was 14 years. Sheva Shekavshu, 7 years while they were conquering the land. Sheva Shechalku, 7 years while they were dividing the land, totaling 14. Menel, and how do you know? The Kamer, the Pasuk says in Yoshua, Kalev was how old when they divided the land? He, when he got Chevron to himself. Ben Arbam Shana Nochi Bishlach Moshe Eved Hashem Osi Mikadosh Barnea Leragel Es Aretz. 40 years of Moshe sent me as a one of the Meraglim. Vayashev Also Davar Kasheim Levavin. I returned back to him, reported back to him. He was 40 at the time of the Meraglim. Then it says, when he divided the land up, now I am 85 years old. So 45 years had passed from the times of the Meraglim. So, Ki Avrei Liarden Bar Kamahavi. How old was he when he crossed the Yarden? Bar Shavin Visimne. He must have been 78, because if he was 40 when he did the Meraglim, and then when the Meraglim came back and reported back, there was another 38 years there. So 40 plus 38, that put him at 78 when they crossed the Yarden. Fine.
Didn't we say 39?
They're 39 when they put the Mishkan up, and then the Meraglim went back and they reported, I think in the back, the Rav Yaakov Emden deals with some of the calculations here at the beginning of the end of the year. Something like a few months off or so. It's kind of round off, I think. So when they came back, that was the middle of the second year, so really it was with 38 more years he was there for. So 40 years plus 38, he was 78 when they crossed the Yarden. And now he's saying, now I'm 85 when they're starting to divide the land, so that's 7 years. So that tells us it took 7 years to conquer, and then they started to divide the land. So that's 7 years of conquering, based on the calculations of the age of Kalev. And then, how do you know?
When they were in the Midbar, they didn't die, so I think Hashem took off really a year.
Yeah?
And they're dying over 40 years.
Okay.
Except when the Rambam wasn't exactly 40 years later.
Okay, come here, I don't know. Haray Sheva Shekavshu, the 7 years that they conquered. Sheva Shechalku Minol. And how do we know the 7 years that they divided the land for? Ibayseima Midesheva Kivshu Sheva Nami Chalku. From the fact that they conquered for 7 years, so they must be divided for 7 years. Not really sure what that svar is, but that's a svar ba'am. Okay. The Ibayseima, alternatively, it's really based on some psukim. Mara says, Midilom Mishkachas La Barbas Veshana Achar Asar Huksa Asher Huksa Ha'ir. So it's based on psukim Yechezkel. And it's a bit of a. It's a little involved here, but the total calculations are based on when Yovel was and 14 years after Yovel. So the Yechezkel describes how the Bayis Rishon destroyed 14 years after the Yovel cycle. So if you learn through Rashi, the whole calculation, it would only make sense if they started the count of Yovel only after 14 years of the dividing the land and conquering the land. So this wouldn't make sense because it was 850 years from the time of entering into Eretz Yisrael until destruction of the Churban Bayis Rishon, 850. 850 is divided by 50, 17 times. It's exactly 17 Yovels, 50 years. So if it's really, if they, let's say, divide the land right away, and so then it should be, the destruction of Bayis Rishon should have been Mamish on the end of the Yovel year.
Right.
But it describes it as 14 years after the Yovel year. So how come Yovel was delayed 14 years? Because they didn't start Yovel until they did a 14 years of conquering and dividing the land. So doing the math like that, so since we know 7 years were conquering, it must be the other 7 years were dividing the land. That puts that 14 years into Eretz Yisrael. So 850 years from then is when they... 850 years from the Knesset Eretz Yisrael minus 14 years tells us of the calculation of those 14 years into the Yovel year. Okay. Gemara then says, Oh, Moed Sheba Nov V'Givon was Chamishim V'Sheva, 57 years in Nov V'Givon. Minol, and how do you know? The Chassidut says, when it came to Eli HaKohen, when he gave the report that the Aron was taken by the Plishim, it was Kihaskiras Aron Helokim, when I mentioned the taking of the Aron, he died, and he fell off the chair, and he died. V'tana, then it says, Kishames Eli, when Eli HaKohen died, Harva Shiloh was destroyed, Ubala Nova, and they took the Mishkan to Nov. Kishames Shmuel HaRamasi, when Shmuel died, Harva Nova, they destroyed Nova. Yishal had commanded they destroy Nova. So then Bala Givon, they moved it over to Givon. Ukhtiv, then it's written further. And that Bahimi Yom Sheva Saarim Bikiris Yarim, when it was moved, when the Aaron was moved to Kiris Yarim, Vayubu Yamim, the days had increased, Vayua Esim Shana was total of 20 years, Vayinahu Kol Beis Yisrael Achar Hashem. So the time period of the time of when Eli died until it was brought to Nov and then to Givon was a total of 20 years. So that's first 20. What do you mean? Gemara says, Hani Esim Shana, these 20 years was Esir Shana Shamalch Shmuel Basma, which Shmuel was serving as king. He was never really king, but since there was no king, he was the shofet. So 10 years he was a shofet. Vishana Shamalch Shmuel Vishal. There's 1 year where they overlapped Shmuel and Shal together, that's 11. And then Shtayim Shemalach Shmuel Shal by himself. 2 years he was by himself, Shal, so that's now 13. And then Sheva the David, and another 7, David was the king, that's a total of 20 years. So that's the 20 years of the time period of moving from Nov and then to Givon. But then the Gemara says, we're not done yet. You also have to add the time period until they build the Beis HaMikdash. This was the last stop off of the Mishkan until they built the Beis HaMikdash. So, Dechsev Ayamim Asher Malach David Al Yisrael Arbam Shana. He was there for a total of 40 years. Bechevron Melach Sheva Shanim. So that means in Yushalayim, it goes on to say he was there for 33 years in Yushalayim. So now we need to add on to another 33 years onto that. That puts us now at 53. We had 20 now plus 33, that's 53. And then Vayachal of Noso, and then Shmuel, rather Shlomo, started to begin to build the Beis HaMikdash, Bishnas Arbam L'Malchuso, the fourth year of his reign. So now we have 53 plus 4, that gives us a total of 57 years, where it was in Nov V'Givon until finally it was brought to Yushalayim. And then the Gemara... Yeah. And the final line is, and after all doing all the calculation, we said there's a total of 469 years from Eretz Yisrael to the Bais Rishon until it was built. So doing all the calculation, we're left with how many years was it in Shiloh? Doing some simple math. Nishtayo Shiloh, it must be Shlosh Miyos V'Shivim V'Chasar Achaz. It was there for 369 years in Shiloh. Okay, we'll stop here.
Was it 480?
Was it 480? No, 479. I think 480 minus 1, no? 480.